deepest, darkest crypts, to the backwoods swamp where we hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Hey, this is Matthew Flagler from the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference, and you are listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hey there, I'm RJ from Face Off Season 2, finalist and fan favorite. You're listening to the Big Scary Show.
Well, greetings, fiends. This is the Sinister Minister of the Midnight Massacre Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you, right now, are having your soul scorched by the Big Scary Show. How does it feel? Burn in hell.
Hi, this is Jen Braverman with Trans World, and you have been listening to the Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Larry Kirshner from HauntWorld.com and The Darkness and Halloween Productions, and I want to send a shout-out to the Big Scary Show.
You're listening to the Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
Greetings. Sounds a little too Dick Turhoon-ish. Welcome. Oh, that's too retro. Ugh. Hey everyone, this is Jerry Vane, haunt instrumentalist and co-host for the Big Scary Show. Badger dumped the intro on this week as he's rubbing elbows with all the haunt heavies in the industry at HauntCon at the George Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Right now, literally right now, while you're listening to this, he's getting tons of interviews for the show. Can you believe it? Right now, literally. On this episode of The Big Scary Show, Matthew Flagler catches up with us to talk about the 2014 Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference going on February 28th and March 2nd, 2014, and what to expect while there. Larry Kirshner of Haunt World and The Darkness Haunted Attraction joins the hosts in his first ever podcast interview anywhere to discuss Transworld 2014, March 20th through the 23rd, The Darkness Haunted Attraction, Haunt World Magazine, and everything in between. There's a lot of stuff in this. Badger reports the news
in between smoozing with face-off contestants and haunt industry titans,
and seeing what interesting stories he can get from Leonard Piggle. Storm rants about anything and everything.
In a haunt minute.
That's my best Badger impersonation. The unknown scare actor makes you face your fears. Again. Does this guy ever run out of topics? I play you some haunt theme music. I figure you guys probably get tired of the horror punk and all that. Plus, we got an exclusive track from the brand new Shadow Symphony CD. All this and more only on
The Big Scary Show.
See how it did that? Pretty neat, huh?
Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show opens for business March 20th through 23rd, 2014, at the America Center in downtown St. Louis. Transworld is the only industry trade show of its kind and is the place for anything haunt-related and open to any and all current and future haunt owners. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a huge success. Transworld combines the products and knowledge of 300-plus exhibitors that you need to see. To register online or for the latest details, go to www.haashow.com.
things mortals, and anything else listening, welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News. We start off with this news from Arx Mortis Haunted Attraction in Killen, Alabama, announcing the second annual My Bloody Valentine event at Arx Mortis. Looking for something insanely different to do for Valentine's Day this year? Our My Bloody Valentine event is great for couples or groups of your favorite friends looking for something fun and different. Take a tour through our original 50,000 square foot indoor haunted attraction and see it one more time before the 2014 changes are made. This is sure to be a Valentine's Day you won't forget. For more information, visit facebook.com/arxmortis. We have this news from the Darkness Haunted Attraction in St. Louis via Facebook. We finally got started renovating the Darkness. We are going to be open this coming March 20th through 23rd, 2014 to the haunt industry during Transworld. We are going to make the haunt very interactive with animations that touch and make customers feel like their life is in danger. We're also loading up on realistic costumes. We can't wait to see you in St. Louis. Learn more at www.thedarkness.com. We have this news from the 13th Floor Haunted Attraction in San Antonio, Texas. This year, the 13th Floor Haunted House in San Antonio will be doing a Valentine's Day haunt. Valentine X hits 13th Floor this February 14th. It's not your ordinary Valentine's experience. Tickets are now on sale. For more information, go to facebook.com/13thFloorSA. We have this from the Taman Graveyard in Midlothian, Texas. Taman Graveyard is a complex of haunted attractions located in Midlothian, Texas, just south of Dallas and Fort Worth. They want you to know that it's almost Valentine's Day. Who's coming out to experience the thrills and chills of Taman's funeral home by candlelight with your Valentine? If you dare, visit TamanGraveyard.com. And finally, we have this news from the Sheltered Nightmares Haunted House in Terre Haute, Indiana. Okay, even though temps are still sub-zero, we're still thinking of all new layouts and scares here at Shattered Nightmares. We also want to announce we'll be opening Friday, September 26, 2014, so mark that on your calendars, kiddies. We're also going to add new scare crew members this year to what's already a great haunted house. So if you're interested, email me your info and how you'd like to help out. crazyhoops5@ma.rr.com. Love you always, Mr. Alfred Nightmares. For more information, visit shatterednightmares.net or their Facebook page. Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Audio Zombie, Rainbow Flavored Nightmares on the Big Scary Show.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Big Scary Show. We hope you're enjoying everything so far. It's time to talk conventions again. If you've been with us for a while, you know we like to cover conventions in kind of chronological order. Our last show, we talked about HauntCon. This show, we're going a little bit further north than Houston. We're going actually way north. We're going to get up to the land of Tim Hortons Hockey and Moose, the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference, way up in Ontario. Big Scary Show's been there the last couple of years. Had a great time every time we've gone north of the border. And we've got Mr. Matthew Flagler all the way from Peterborough, Ontario on the line. Matthew, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, you betcha, eh? But we want to also welcome in the Unknown Scare Actor and the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, who have decided to join us. I know Jerry's got a little bit of a Canadian connection, and Jim, well, he just likes Tim Hortons coffee and donuts, I guess. But we thought we'd basically come and talk to you a little bit about the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference in a new town this year, the town of Guelph, just outside of Toronto, and kind of give us the five W's, the skinny on what's going on up in Canada in late February.
Sure. Well, you know, we can be different up here. I know you get that, but one of the things that's not different is that our format for a convention or conference is exactly the same as any of the big U.S. shows. We've got a trade show, we got education, we got special events. That's the long and short of it. It's a really great show, and it's just got a Canadian spin on it. But it seems like every year that goes by, we get more and more U.S. attendees too. And so, you know, it's like when Dick Terhune recorded the first, radio ad for us, he said, "You don't have to be from Canada to attend, but you do have to buy a ticket." And, you know, that sort of always stuck with me, that I hope that people don't get the impression that because it's called the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference that you have to be from Canada or conceived in Canada or live in a city with the same name as a Canadian one, like Hamilton, Ohio, to go.
Woohoo! I can go. I was conceived there. Woohoo!
See? You don't have to just because, we know that you guys in America, you blazed a trail in the haunted attraction industry going back to the Junior Chamber of Commerce in the 1970s. And, you know, so we pay homage to you guys, and we're happy to have you come and share your ideas with us, too.
Yeah, everything I've heard about the CHAC sounds like it'd be so much fun. And unfortunately, for as far as I am away from everybody, I want to get out there. I mean, it seems like every year that you've been doing this, it just seems to be getting bigger and better. And I mean, I've heard nothing but great things about it, to where it's actually making me sit there and go, well, let's see, I usually do this convention. Maybe I should consider doing this one instead. You know, that's how much it's impressed me with what I've heard.
Testify, brother. Testify. Yeah, that's absolutely.
Plus you have poutine. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, well, the French.
McDonald's has poutine.
Right? The French would say poutine, but mostly everybody else calls it.
That sounds kind of nasty.
I have had the genuine stuff, too, not just the stuff that you can get at the local pizza parlor or the McDonald's.
So. Yeah, the pizza parlor stuff, too. But no, you're absolutely right, Jerry. And you know what? We're bringing in people from far-flung places. Like this year we have, as a good example, Alan Hopps from Stilfe Studios from Mesquite, Texas. And I got to say that Mesquite, Texas has got to be at least as far away as you guys are. I know you're a little farther west, but I don't think you're any farther south. That's the thing. I mean, last year we had Laura Neely from Hotwire Foam Factory up from whatever part of California she's from. I apologize to her in advance if she's listening, that I don't know where she lives. But
you had Nick Wolf from
Nick
Florida.
Orlando, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have seen people from the far reaches of the continental United States and but all over Canada, too. I mean, we've had people from the east coast of Canada and provinces like Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and PEI, or Quebec, Ontario. Last year we had haunters there from near Winnipeg, Manitoba. And as you said, Drew, it was colder in Winterpeg the other day than it was on the surface of Mars.
That's just stereotypical Canada. Real quick, for people who say, well, you know, Canada's too far to go, or it's just, you know, can't figure out how to do border crossings and stuff, about how far is Guelph or Toronto from a place, say, like Buffalo or Detroit, which would probably be the two major crossings for people who may drive?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Buffalo to Guelph is going to be, oh, man, now you're testing me. I'm going to say it's two, 3 hours, okay? Detroit is, again, about 3 hours. It's really close to those U.S. border states. And, yeah, I mean, we say this every year when you have me on your show, you know, and I don't mean to disrespect any other U.S. shows, and I don't intend to today, but just to say that some shows are a lot farther away for you. If you live in Ohio, or you live in Michigan, or you live in New York State, or you live in even Wisconsin, maybe, you're a lot closer to come to our show than you are to go to the southern United States or the West Coast to take in some of the other shows, right? So it really is more economical from a time-wise distance, and it's really no more difficult to come here than it is to go anywhere else, except that you need a passport. And I want to reiterate that you don't need a passport to get into our country, because we'll let almost anybody in, but you got to have a passport to get back into your own country, because you have some strict rules about who you let in, and you need to be able to prove that you're from.
You let Drew in, so anything's possible.
Yeah, they did let me in twice without any problems. And just to reiterate as well, you don't necessarily have to have a passport. You can get a pass card, which is a little bit cheaper and a little bit easier to get, which just allows passage between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Yeah.
So you can always go to the State Department websites or type in obtain a passport on Google or something like that. And there's plenty of different ways to get them. They're inexpensive, reasonably, and you could probably get one in 2 to 3 weeks, and you're on your way. You know, a lot of people I know already have passports, so that's not an issue. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I know that Alan got a passport really quickly. I know, Drew, when you made the decision 2 years ago to come here the first time, you got a passport fairly quickly. I know it's not a time-consuming thing. So you're listening to the show. It's around the 25th of January. You're thinking, well, the show's in a month's time. I'd really like to go, but is it already too late? No, not if you Monday morning get down to your local passport office and put in an application, right?
Sure.
And it's real simple. I mean, you can actually go on to the State Department website, fill out all the paperwork, print it out, take it down to the passport office. You give them the fee, they file everything, and it took me just under 2.5 weeks to get my pass card. And let me reiterate that if you live a little further and you're going to fly to Canada, make sure you get a regular passport. A pass card won't work for flying.
Although I will say it's a lot cheaper to fly to Buffalo and cross at Niagara Falls,
which is what I'm doing.
And very scenic as well, too. So
excellent point, Drew, and it bears saying.
I'll tell you what, with the last 2 years, even though it was in April when you had the convention, I was able to fly from Charlotte for under $200. I mean, I don't know what that says, supply and demand, about wanting to go to Buffalo in April. But still, I found it to be a very pretty ride. The QEW there was a beautiful ride into Hamilton, and that was probably maybe an hour from Niagara Falls. And so, you know, you kind of make a little mini vacation out of it. And the trek, and, you know, half the fun is getting there, they say, in a lot of cases. And, you know, it was fun getting there, and it was fun to actually hang out with a whole bunch of just really cool Canadian folks.
Now, is the CHAC going to be in the same place it was last year, or is it a different location this time?
It isn't a different location, Jerry. It's last year we hosted in Hamilton, not Hamilton, Ohio, but Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. But we worked out a really sweet deal with the hotel chain. I think they're in the U.S. too, called Delta Hotels. Are they? You heard of that one before?
No.
Or Delta Airline.
So maybe it's a Canadian thing, but the Delta Hotel chain gave us a really sweet deal and courted us to take a look at them. And we looked at a number of Delta venues, and we settled on Guelph, which is, you know, not very far outside of Toronto, still close to the U.S. border crossings. It's only a half an hour away from Hamilton. So if you're saying you were just over an hour from Niagara Falls to Hamilton, you're only an hour and a half from Niagara Falls to Guelph.
Oh, okay, good.
So you're only 2 hours then, let's say.
With traffic, maybe.
From Buffalo, right?
Sure, yeah, about 2 hours from Buffalo. It was about 20 minutes to a half hour from the airport to the falls, so.
Yeah.
So not bad. Not bad at all.
So we've moved to Jerry to Guelph, Ontario, and we're staying there for 2 years. We've signed a multi-year deal with them, and we anticipate we'll have outgrown this space. So the space Drew had asked earlier, the space is about the same as it was at the Sheraton in Hamilton, in terms of the trade show floor size, in terms of the breakout rooms, in terms of that stuff. But we anticipate selling out the trade show floor, if not this year, next, and then we're going to have to move from there. But the good news is that Delta hotel chains have bigger venues. On the outskirts of Toronto, they have one called the Delta Meadowvale. It's a significantly larger facility that we can grow into, right?
Sure.
So,
it's
anyway.
All about growing the product.
Yeah, and we are, and Jerry's right. I mean, when I look at our humble beginnings, and there's no doubt we're not a trans world. We're not even a Midwest Honors Convention, and I won't even try and convince you otherwise. We're a grassroots show. We're very dedicated people, and everything Jerry said he's hearing is true. I mean, you ask a guy like Manny Souza from the TV show documentary The American Scream. He was here last year, and he posted recently on a related Facebook page that we're a really great group of haunters up here and that people should go to the show, right?
Well, that's where I first met Manny. We were hanging out in the underground shopping center there, right there at the Sheraton. So that was fun.
Yeah, I believe his GPS took him the wrong direction and he ended up somewhere else and 3 hours late or whatever. But but notwithstanding, he sailed across the border too, as has every but one exception of all the years we've had U.S. attendees up here. There's only ever been one exception where anybody ever had an issue at the border. The dozens of others have sailed right across, right? Even Nick Wolf, who had been deported the week before from Vancouver, Canada, and sent to Newark, New Jersey, and told that if he tried to enter our country again without a work permit, would be banned from our country for a year. I placed a couple of phone calls, and Nick Wolf was driving over the border at Niagara Falls, smooth as silk, right? So this is what I do, and this is what we do to help our American brethren get in here. I'm the first Canadian to get Nick Wolf in our country legally ever at any show, right? I'm proud of that. I you know, and so if you're a U.S. company listening to this show thinking the nuances of traveling there, I don't understand anything about the currency and the foreign exchange and the weird language and the odd people, you know, it's not that different than the United States. We have McDonald's here. We would gladly take your U.S. currency, gladly take it, because then I'm going to turn around and go and spend it in the U.S. next year, right?
Sure.
So if you want to pay me in U.S. greenbacks, that's cool by me. You don't have to get any of our funny colored money with holograms and stuff, right?
Smells like maple syrup, I hear.
Yes. Well, I can't say anything on air about that except to say it wasn't the money that smells like maple syrup, was it? It was something else, but we can't speak about that right now.
No, probably not. But that's okay.
Family show.
So give us an idea of what somebody can expect when they, let's say they fly to Buffalo, they drive across the QEW, they come into Guelph, they get to the Delta Hotel on a Friday afternoon. What can somebody be looking forward to? Or somebody coming in from Detroit or Toronto or, you know, any place?
Well, the first thing they can look forward to is before they ever get to Guelph is they cross to Detroit, there's an en route at Chatham with a Tim Hortons. That's the first thing they can look forward to, is real, you know, genuine Tim Hortons, not that fake Detroit Tim Hortons.
Got to hit that Tim Hortons.
The real Tim Hortons. And but barring that, I know what you're driving at. You know, they come to the show Friday. The trade show opens mid-afternoon. So the vendors will be on the floor starting, you know, 3-4 in the afternoon. But we got the Welcome Social Friday night, and that event is one that grows and grows every year. And it's just a really laid-back, informal, like, I mean, like other conventions, you know, there's like-minded people, there's lots to drink and eat, and maybe there'll even be some music playing, and if you're really lucky, a speech or two by me, or, you know, but, or somebody important, like the Unknown Scare actor, you know, but at any rate, that goes on Friday night, the Welcome Social, and then, of course, the trade show's open Saturday, and there's lots of education sessions. Oh, yeah, and education on Friday, too, that's for sure, but right now, our education on Friday, it seems to be primarily for makeup and FX artists. The one exception being Alan Hopps. Alan Hopps from Stillbeat Studios is attending, and he's given a great session on scenic airbrushing FX. So that's a very haunt-related session. And you can get details about pricing on that and how to register and all that by visiting our ticketing platform, which... our partner is TicketLeap, and you can find a link to that on our Facebook page or on our website, and you can go ahead and order tickets to Alan's session. And, you know, we expect it to sell out, so you probably want to do that now rather than later. But other than that, whole weekend of educational opportunities and networking and social events. You asked me earlier what's coming back and what's new. What's coming back is... the Welcome Social, that's really popular. The VIP dinner is really popular. Sells out. Matter of fact, maybe by the time you're hearing this radio broadcast, our VIP dinner will be already sold out anyway. But
I highly recommend that. That's some quality fun time right there.
Well, last year's there was a bit of a snafu, and I appreciate the kind words, Drew, but there really was a snafu, and that wasn't how the VIP dinner was supposed to be. That.
I was talking about 2 years ago, but I digress.
That's what we're going to do again. We'll be like 2 years ago. It'll be really great. But so that's returning. The Welcome Social, the VIP dinner. But the body art competition, that's returning. And that's worth, Jerry, man, that's worth the drive from Las Vegas alone.
If I may say, at the risk of offending hopefully nobody, Canada does not require pasties on their models.
Nice.
Yeah.
But there are also male models that attend that too. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. And last year, I believe a male did win first place.
Pasties, no. Yay. Dingley bits, no.
Yeah.
It was quality artwork that won, but
it was
a guy. Yeah.
And I was that close to saying, get me in so I can do some interviews during that.
It's a small canvas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you've got that problem, Jerry, really.
Yeah, you can't grow grass in a barren plain anyway, so.
You have lost a bit of weight, right?
Just wait.
And some hair.
Anyway.
Yeah, but so...
But that the body art is not restricted to Canadian artists. If I recall, there was at least one or two American artists that came up to participate in that.
Yeah, matter of fact, Wendy Ferris and Bertie Croach was her model or assistant, I can't remember which. Assistant, I think, came up from somewhere in Ohio.
Hamilton.
And competed. Hamilton. Huh?
Hamilton.
Was she from Hamilton, Ohio?
Wendy lives about 10 miles from me.
Okay. So, anyway, by all means, it's open to U.S. Competitors, and unlike some of the U.S. shows that I've been to, our body art artists are competing for cash. So, first place takes home $300 cash. We pay it that day in cash. No traveler's checks, no money orders, no third-party out-of-state checks. You get it in cash, right? So $300 for the first place, $150 for second, $75 for third place in cash. Now, unfortunately, if you're American competitor, it'll be Canadian cash, but it'll smell like maple syrup. So, you know, the win-win. Yeah. But at any rate, so you can compete if you're in the U.S. and you're a body artist and you're going to win, have a chance to win cash. It's not just for fun. And we've got lots of education for body artists and makeup FX artists, and that's a big part of our industry in Halloween. And so we've got last year we had Nick Wolf. This year we have Dutch. He's been at a number of U.S. conventions. You've seen him with his bright red hair. He's a wicked talented artist. He's coming this year. And
his booth was the one that did Jerry's makeup for the MHC Masquerade Ball last year, if I recall correctly.
That's true.
Exactly right. So, and then there's this other fairly big name makeup artist, which I can't name right now because when we recorded the show, it wasn't locked in and solid, but let's just say she is, was on Face Off. I believe it was season 2. She's very talented and we're looking to her to lead a makeup FX session at our show. Nice. So right now we're just negotiating the details. She wants to come. We want her to come. We're just hashing out details, and I don't want to say the name right now. But
be sure and post it on your Facebook page and let us know so we can forward that information along as well.
Well, yeah, of course we will. So yeah, we're a very makeup forward show, but that's not to say we have nothing for haunters either. We've got some great U.S. vendors coming. We already talked about Stilpe Studios. We also have Haunt Pay coming. They've been given a charter to do business in Canada, and they want to promote to Canadian haunts. So they've booked a booth space. And we have Darkest Fears Unlimited, who's one of your sponsors on the Big Scary Show.
Sure is.
Is it Justin? Joshua.
Joshua.
Sorry, Joshua. I apologize. Joshua's coming up to our show. And we I think it's safe to announce, because we talked about this before, I think we got all the ducks in the row, but for the first time ever, all the way from the deep south of Tennessee, we have Froggy's Fog coming to our show.
Nice.
So I know that Adam's coming up because he loves to ski and it will be winter, but I hear a rumor that Granny and or Duane might be at the Canadian.
Lord. There goes the convention.
Yep, they're going to start a border war now. Be some international incident going on.
They're going to throw Granny out.
Yeah, because I got an email from Granny yesterday saying,
"You Canadian whores."
Yeah. No, I hear you were looking for me to come to your show. So yeah, we think that this could be the type of thing that most Canadians will not have seen. How that's received remains.
Oh, that's for sure.
You know, but I think it'll be good. So there's lots of U.S. vendors coming and lots of great Canadian companies too. I was telling Drew earlier that there's this really great company called Roadkill Jill Creations with these creepy little dolls and things that's coming. And that's a Canadian company. And we've got Dotsie's Entertainment Company returning, and we have, Canada's newest horror convention, Shock Stock, and many great Canadian companies that are coming too. So, I mean, you definitely want to check our show out, I think. But I freely admit to being biased.
What about after the trade show? What's going on in the evening on Saturday?
Yeah. We got the costume ball, and I hope by the time the show airs, we'll have a lot more details on our website. But I don't really think you need a lot of details. It's dancing, it's music, it's drinking, it's eating, it's socializing and networking, and it's the perfect opportunity to be drunk and stupid, right? And, you know, Canadians, we don't need much prompting in that regard, much like the folks in St. Louis, Missouri, apparently. But at any rate, yeah, so that's a new feature to our show this year, and I hope by the time the show airs that tickets will be available online for that too, but we're just negotiating with some entertainment opportunities in that regard before we set our pricing. So yeah, you definitely, but I know I said you really shouldn't hawk and push stuff, but if I had to hawk and push one thing, it would be, if you're at all serious about going to this show, you should probably call and book your hotel room. That's the one thing you need to do, because you can always cancel that later, right? But if you don't book your hotel room, I guarantee you're going to be sorry, because every year so far, the damn hotel is sold out, and there were a lot of people scrambling to look for hotels, and Guelph is just not that big a city. There just aren't that many other hotels in town, so unless you want to be staying, you know, at a hostel or something,
sure,
you probably want to call and book your hotel room, like, right as soon as you're hearing the show.
And you do have all that information on your website, correct?
Yeah, and on our Facebook page and everywhere that it's possible to put it. In our newsletter, there's a link. But yes, on our website, there's a link, a logo for the Delta on the right-hand side. You click that. It will take you to more information about the Delta Hotel, and then a link that says book your hotel room now. You book it electronically, online, instantaneously. Adam Pogue did it last night in 5 minutes.
And what would that website be?
Oh, CanadaHaunts.ca, not .com, but .ca. So CanadaHaunts.ca is our website.
Excellent. Any other questions for Matthew, guys?
Yes, I do. I've got one. Matthew, now I know, you know, we've all been to the big haunt conventions, HauntCon, Transworld, Midwest, and, you know, Transworld is mainly that buyer's convention where there's no cash and carry going on, whereas in Midwest, you've got mostly cash and carry, and you got a little bit of a mixture at HauntCon. With the Canadian Haunted Attraction Conference, is that going to be a cash and carry show, or is it going to be a mixture of both?
Absolutely, it's a cash and carry show. Although, well, yeah, I just don't know of any vendors that won't be offering stuff for sale right there if you want it. So we've put it in our contract that they must accept Canadian cash if it's offered. But if you're an American attendee talking to Froggy's Fog, I'm sure that Adam would far rather have U.S. greenbacks. So
I'm sure they're set up for plastic as well. So
I'm sure they are. And yeah, so it will. Ours is a cash and carry show by all means. And if you see something you like, you can buy it right there and put it in your car and take it home with you.
And I'm sure most of the Canadian vendors will also have credit card machines,
yeah,
and things like that. You know, because everything I paid up there, I used plastic, did not have a single issue. So
exactly,
there was no problems.
Food
in
stamps. Food stamps and welfare tickets. Bring your WIC cards, you can get a CD.
Oh, sure. Those EBTs work real well.
Sweet.
But I did want to actually make a comment, too. And your listeners may not realize, but the Unknown Scare Actor is going to be at the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference in person.
We didn't really want to advertise that.
Oh, really?
Sorry. We apologize in advance.
And
crap.
And you're hoping to keep that secret.
We didn't want anybody to know. A little bit of name disassociation.
Sorry. The Unknown Character is leading an education session. Well, what is your topic there, Unknown Character?
Actually, I got an email back from Harley.
How to be the worst kept secret in the industry. That's what his topic
that's
is.
That's not the topic. It should be, but it's not. Actually, I'll be teaching two classes.
Okay.
I'll be teaching a class on Saturday, and I will be teaching a class on Sunday. On Saturday's class, tentatively scheduled, it's going to be character development and the Q line.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And Sunday's class will be Q line entertainment.
Okay. But what you also may not realize is that Unknown Scare Actor and his life partner, Chris, are going to be getting married at the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference. They're going to be exchanging vows, and apparently I've been asked to preside over this, and then the costume ball is going to be their reception. So, yeah, I know that other conventions have had a wedding. This will be a first for us. We're pretty excited about it. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure that they're not asking for gifts, but they sure would love to have your company at the show. Exactly.
Poutine.
We would absolutely love to have the company of Canadians and Americans at our
silly people,
at our wedding and reception.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the only other, you know, thing I gotta, you know, warn our American brethren when they're coming up is that, you know, our beer is a lot stronger here. And if you're coming from the deep south, your blood is thinner. So you really want to be careful.
Well, to you, everybody's the deep south, right?
Yeah, everybody.
Michigan's the deep south to you.
Everybody's south of Detroit, right? Because down there you got the, it's not, here in Canada we have the police. Down there you have the police.
Absolutely.
Right? In Vegas we have dollar beers.
Woo-hoo. You have the popo down here.
The popo. The other thing is when a Canadian says he's packing heat, don't panic. It doesn't mean he's got a concealed weapon. It just means he's got hand warmers in his mitts, okay?
Nice.
He's carrying an electric blanket.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Now, that does bring up a question that I have heard from people who have heard about your date change. The last couple of years, you had it in April. This year, you're having it in late February. That's not necessarily the warmest time of the year.
Yeah.
Will there be an issue, you think, with people actually getting there? I mean, will roads, I mean, I'm sure you guys know a little bit about snow removal better than we would down here, but but how, I mean, are we going to have to rent a 4x4 or a big old truck or something to cross the border or
did
what?
Did you ever see that movie, The Shining? Remember the vehicle at the end? No, I'm kidding. It could happen anywhere, anytime. We talked about this when we talked about dates. Bad weather can happen in any given place, in any given time. And that doesn't just mean snow. That could be hurricanes. It could be twisters. It could be, or what do you call them down there, cyclones? It could be any kind of weather anomaly. We just happen to have an issue of snow at this time of year. So, couple of things, because when I was traveling to Transworld last year in St. Louis, I came into some very bad weather in Indiana through parts of Ohio. And matter of fact, I want to say that Craig Hines, who designs our website at Dark Imaginings, he
He does ours as well.
See?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry. Wrong Craig.
No. Wrong
that
Craig.
Was a shameless plug from my guy, but anyway.
Craig's been a guest on our show many times. He's a good
my
guy.
My point is that he almost got stranded in Pittsburgh because of bad weather, and that was for Transworld in March. So it could happen anywhere, anytime, to any show you're going to go to. So what I would say is this. You're right, Drew. We know a lot more about snow removal than maybe most U.S. states.
We don't want to panic anybody, but you probably better bring at least an overcoat and some good boots and gloves.
And what I'm saying is that if you're coming from Buffalo or from Detroit, you're traveling across major arterial highways that go span the length of our province, and they're four, in some places through Toronto, 8-lane highways that are major travel routes for industry, so they're very well maintained. But check the weather forecast as we get closer. You may just have to leave a day earlier, right? Like, you know, plan to come in on Thursday instead of Friday, or Friday instead of Saturday, or whatever. But we'll be watching that stuff very closely, and we'll probably put some kind of weather bulletin posting on our Facebook page and on our website about that for our people traveling from out of the area, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, no, I really appreciate you guys taking some time to let me come on your show and talk with you. And I look forward to having Unknown's character at our show. Drew's been at our show many times. Next year, it's your turn, Jerry.
There you go.
Well, now that I've heard this supposed rumor of something happening, now I got to try to figure out how I can sneak this in.
Just start stacking away some money in a sock drawer or something.
You mean like I've already been doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet.
Wow. That Canadian money is like, what, a fairly even exchange rate, so you should be able to do okay.
Yeah, it fluctuates. There's a time there where ours was actually worth more than yours, but right now it's back down to where, like, the good news if you're coming from America is that when you give the exchange people here $1 U.S., they're going to give you somewhere between $1.10 and $1.20 Canadian for that. So things may be a bit more expensive here, like gas and that, but you're getting more out of more Canadian money for your U.S. So it sort of works out, right?
Excellent. True. Excellent. Well, Matthew Flagler, it's been a pleasure once again to have you on our show. Always love to have our Canadian friends and fans and listeners to come on and talk all things Canadian, as well as the Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference. We certainly look forward to many more years of working with you and coming up and enjoying all your northern hospitality. I know Jim's going to have a great time up there. The show will be well represented. And once again, for anybody interested in making that trip across the border, or if you're already a Canadian citizen and want to go check out all the cool stuff going on in Guelph, Ontario, what are those dates again?
February 28th through March the 2nd.
February 28th through March the 2nd. Go to CanadaHaunts.ca for everything Canadian Haunted Attractions Conference has to offer. Matthew Flagler, once again, thank you very much. The Unknown Scare Actor and the Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, on behalf of us, Drew Badger, The Big Scary Show, we want to thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us.
Anytime, bud.
Absolutely. Once again, this is The Big Scary Show, and we'll be right back. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest regions of the earth, this is The Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so this week I finished reading a book. At least I thought I finished reading a book. I got to the end of the book, and the author writes a chapter telling me that this was only one half the book, and there's another book, and it's going to happen during the time of the book I just read, but with different characters. And I'm like, well, you're a genius or a jerk. Thank you, George R. R. Martin. And it got me thinking also, how many times have you done that to your haunt customers? Where you start off your haunt with this really cool theme, and you're really going for it. Ah, you're going into the asylum house to go rescue the lost boy and reunite him with his mother and the scary things that happen, and you get to the end of the haunted house and it's chainsaw! Yeah, that's it, chainsaw! They all end with chainsaws! We're losing the stories halfway in between there, and you know, all this great planning and character development, you get to the end and go, oh, well, that wasn't scary, chainsaw time. Well, while it's freaking freezing outside, take the time to figure out what you're going to do and work your theme with your scares and what your audience is looking for. You can always have too much art and not enough scares, or too much scares and not enough art. Balance. Don't be George R. R. Martin to your customers. Actually, keep with the theme and don't kill off all your best characters. Unless it's a wedding. That's cool. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hey, this is Josh Gates from Sci-Fi's Destination Truth, encouraging you to check out HauntMinute.com.
gathering of darkness. Souls of Black on the Big Scary Show.
Size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scared.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm gonna scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Big Scary Show, to the highlight of our show that we all love and you all love and everybody loves, the Roundtable of Terror. Now, of course, you may know that we've been hawking a very special mystery guest for the last few days, and we do happen to have our mystery guest on the line. Mystery guest, are you there?
Yeah.
Excellent. Just a little background on our mystery guest. He is a haunter, owns several haunts, owns a very, very busy and productive website for the haunted house industry. And generally, you really can't talk about the big names in the industry without mentioning the name Larry Kirchner. Larry, welcome to the Big Scary Show.
Well, thank you.
It's an honor to have you, as well as our other three hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from creepy Warwick, Rhode Island.
The unknown scare actor.
Greetings from Cincinnati.
And way out on the West Coast, the haunt rocker Jerry Vane.
Greetings from 65 degree Las Vegas.
Ooh, five. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte. It's been a beautiful day here, and I'm going to throw out the first question to you, Larry. I will say I was a little surprised to say that you contacted me and said I'd like to be on your show. For lack of a better question, what prompted you to contact us and expressed interest in being on the show?
Oh, nothing really. It's just, you know, we have a lot of stuff going on, and you know, I've just never done one, and I was listening to your show, and it sounded really cool, so.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. The accolades keep pouring in, ladies and gentlemen, and we appreciate that.
And no 20s were slipped during the conversation at all.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, we did not throw.
Because I would take some 100.
Oh, 100? Oh, hey, I'm a musician. I don't make that much money.
That's why the, you know, 100 is the lowest I'll go.
Okay, I got a question for you. You're very well known in the industry with both The Darkness and also with Haunt World Magazine. But the question I have, and this is something I don't know as well, what got you into haunting? What got you into the industry?
You know, this is a question I get asked a lot when, you know, because I run a public relations campaign every year through Haunt World. And it's a question that, you know, the media always asks, what got you into haunted houses? And, you know, the truth is, when I was a little kid, I liked Frankenstein, Wolfman, Mummy, Creature in Black Lagoon, Godzilla, all those things. You know, I used to collect, you know, toys, Planet of the Apes. I had all the original, you know, monster toys. And, you know, you just kind of sort of like monsters. And when I was in high school, I was running the TV station for the high school, because my high school had a TV station. And some friends of mine said they were going to go to a haunted house. And I said, oh, yeah, I bet you we could get in free. We'll go there and videotape it. And I kind of like made this video for them, which was kind of ahead of its time in terms of making videos. And so then he ended up hiring me to work at his Christmas attraction and help him, like, you know, do sets and stuff. And one thing led to another, and, you know, I just wanted to be in the haunted house business. So, but, you know, I think that most haunters that are in the business today have a very similar background. They like horror movies. And, you know, if you're really, you know, one of the things that people probably don't know about me is if I wasn't in the haunted house business, I'd be like a Halloween geek that decorated their yard. And, you know, I put out all kinds of decorations in my house. Yeah. I have my bathrooms that's themed after Halloween. I actually like Halloween. But the haunted house industry kind of makes it hard to celebrate, you know, Halloween, which kind of sucks.
So this was something that you basically – was something you've been into for a while and decided to pursue at some point.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I kind of sort of started when I was still in high school. you know, I basically became an entrepreneur right out of high school. I worked for this guy. He ran this haunted house called Therrien Mansion, and I worked at his Christmas show, and he didn't pay me, which is kind of typical of the haunts back then. And then when he was getting ready to open the following year, he asked me if I would help him with the haunted house. And so I remember the very first scene I was building in a haunted house. Now, this doesn't include the fact that I built haunted houses when I was 6, 7 years old in the basement and charged a quarter. I was sitting there building a a scene, you know, where you paint checkers on the walls and you make a costume that looked the same way. And I was sitting there and I just like, are you kidding me? Like, this guy didn't even pay me for the Christmas thing. I just dropped the spray paint and left. And on my way home, right down the street from this haunted house was a gas station, and it had a flyer in there that said the haunted church. And I said, oh my God, this looks horrible. It had Casper the Ghost flying out of the church. So I drove over there and I said, hey, I'm a haunted designer. I'm a haunted, you know, guy, which I wasn't. And I said, can I see your haunted house? And he showed it to me, and it was the worst thing ever. He had like two Raggedy Ann dolls with knives stabbed in them. He had a gorilla scene where the gorilla was in a cage with the bars were made out of hose, you know, like water hose. Right. And I was like, oh, right. My God, this thing's terrible. And then, you know, me being me, you know, I just said, you know, this thing's not very good. And and I said, if you shut this thing down for 3 days, I'm pretty sure I can make it a lot better. I told him I was a haunted consultant designer. There was no such thing at the time. At least I didn't know of anything. And I just kind of made that up. And he said, sure. And he let me kind of design the place. And I got my two cousins to help me. And we redid it. And we hired new people. And I acted every night. I was in charge of the actors. I was in charge of the marketing. I made the flyer out of clip art. I took another haunted house's brochure where they had it, you know, typeset, and I was like cutting out the little skulls and the little bats, and I was like, and then my first logo I actually drew myself, and I drew this house up on top of a hill. And so the first haunted house I had, I called House on Haunted Hill. I ran that for 5 years.
So your involvement in the industry was more as far as designing and everything rather than being an actor.
Well, I was an actor.
Okay.
I acted. I built the haunted house. I designed the haunted house. I did all the marketing. I pretty much did everything. And there wasn't anything that I didn't do. Okay. You know, we actually used to dress up. We went to like this thing called the Apple Butter Festival. And I would dress up as a mad doctor. And I guess that's where I got my nickname, you know, Dr. Frightener. Because back when I was, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, I dressed up this character as a doctor, and I went around to these festivals, and we would scare people in broad daylight and hand them a flyer. So that's how we promoted haunted houses back then.
That's fairly standard in the industry now, so you were kind of a trailblazer even back then. Was this in the, say, the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, or what kind of time frame?
No, I'm not that old. This
1922, back in the day.
This would have been, I graduated high school in 88, so
God, I'm older than you.
Oh my God, so am I.
It was 89, 90.
Okay. I feel old already.
Oy. Actually, there wasn't a whole lot I didn't do. I even went to football games and flyered the cars myself because I was worried someone would just throw them in the trash can, so... I mean, I did everything, but I loved acting. That was my favorite thing to do, was acting.
At what point did you realize that this has kind of gone from being a hobby and having fun to realizing that all of a sudden people are calling you a major name in the industry?
Well, you know how that kind of started was after working at this haunted house for 5 years. You know, I had a kind of a deal where he would pay me for the X amount of people that would come. And then the last year that it was there, the attraction did really, really well. He didn't pay me all the money that I was supposed to get paid. And then he had his, like, security guards say that they could do a better job than me. And so he basically said, hey, you know, we're going to take it from here, you know, because the first 3 years that I ran it, we couldn't do over 8,000 people. And it was a great experience because I was trying to learn how to grow the business. And that's what a lot of people in the haunted house industry probably don't understand about me either, is when I started, you know, we were charging $3-4, and I was doing 8,000 people, and all the people we would get would be from flyering football games, doing festivals, and, you know, handing out flyers and stuff like that, and word of mouth. And then, you know, by my fourth year, I was really trying to get a grip on marketing. And by the fifth year, I really had it down. And by the fifth year, I had this haunted house called House on Haunted Hill. It was the biggest, most attended haunted house in St. Louis. And at the time, there was about 20 of them. Okay. So after he told me that, this was 1994, I opened a nightclub called Tasmania. So I was running my own nightclub. And I jumped, I had a 1984 IROC Z28 at the time. And me and Jim Kelly, we jumped in my IROC because I had just heard through the grapevine about a Halloween retail show in Chicago. And so I went there. This was back in 1994. We just went there on a whim. We just drove up there, and I had a bunch of cash with me. And I can tell you who was the vendors, the so-called quote-unquote haunted house vendors. And I basically bought everything that was on the show floor. And you're not even going to believe this, but I had the hatch of my IROC was sitting straight up, and I had props like higher than the hatch. Jim was in the front seat. He couldn't move because there's things on the side of him, top of him. There was things on top of me. There was things like in between us. You know, and I just bought all this stuff, and I didn't even have a haunted house at the time. That was my first year going to Transworld. Was 1994. And the big vendors were Cinema Secrets at the time was more of a haunted house vendor than they were a retail vendor. Now they're more retail. There was this company called Gag Studios and Distortions. And that was pretty much it. And Morris Costumes. Okay. And the rest of it was just like retail. But that was the only companies that were really there that had any kind of haunted stuff, body parts and things of that nature. And back before, you couldn't ever get body parts or skulls or skeletons. We used to make them with, you know, mold them and then cast them in concrete and plaster and stuff like that. So it was kind of interesting going to Transworld and see, oh, you can buy some stuff. Okay. Well, in 1994, we decided to open the darkness, and we did. In 1995, I went to Transworld as a vendor. Or it might have been 94, and 93 is the first time I went. I can't remember which one it was. It was probably 94, because I opened the darkness in 94, which would have been later in the year. So in 95, I went there as a vendor, and I sold how-to videos. And that was kind of interesting, because there was this company called Things You Never Knew Existed, and they had a catalog. And they picked up our How to Create Your Own Haunted House videos, and we sold 10,000 to them alone.
I remember that catalog. That's kind of like Archie McPhee does nowadays, but I do remember Things You Never Knew Existed.
Yeah, and cool. So they bought the video, and they sold over 10,000 copies. And we just made this video in like 2 days. And so we sold like tens of thousands of them. It was called How to Create Your Own Haunted House. And so then we made it a part two, and then the next year I went to Transworld. We were selling full modular haunted houses and so on and so forth. And then it kind of sort of blossomed into like we were selling full-blown animatronics. Actually, we were the first company at that show to sell multi-motion pneumatic animation. Because Distortions, they had sold an electric chair, but it was motorized. And then we sold this thing called an attacking werewolf and a bunch of other stuff. And the Scare Factory came along a little after that, kind of made animations even more popular.
Very interesting. You mentioned a couple minutes ago about the marketing that you were doing for the haunt that you were at, you know, the papering the flyers, papering parking lots and all that stuff. And I notice on Haunt World forums, you talk an awful lot about best ways to market your haunt. Is Facebook dead? Is Instagram the new thing? Or how does Pinterest work for promoting a haunt? Where do you think that advertising and marketing haunts is going to go in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And one of the reasons why on Haunt World and in Haunt World Magazine and when I do seminars, I talk a lot about marketing and business stuff. And that's just because I feel that most haunted house owners aren't the best business people, and they don't make the best business decisions. I think that most haunters are passion guys, you know, that they're in the business because they love it. But the most important thing to them, what they don't realize is, you know, the business side is the most important. I remember there was a haunted house called Silo X, and, you know, which I own the name Silo X now. I bought it from them. You know, that guy was the first franchise. He was franchising Silo X all over the country. His haunted houses were terrible, but it was run like a business, and they and he hired really good marketing people. So they were really aggressive in marketing, and they would do 40,000 people. And these other haunted houses that had much better attractions would scratch their head and say, well, our attraction's, you know, way better. The build it and they will come theory doesn't really work, okay? You know, you have to build it, but then you have to shout it out at the top of the mountaintop, you know? And, you know, when it comes to marketing, it's so crazy now. What's really funny is my son was playing a video game earlier today in the car. And, you know, they give these video games away to you for free, you know? And you're like, well, you know, when the apps first started coming out, they cost money, you know, $1, $2, $5, whatever, right? And now these things are free. Why are they free? Well, like this one game he's playing, if you want more energy, then you have to watch a video. The video is a commercial. So you watch a commercial, they give you more energy. So that's how they make money off you having their game. There's so many ways now that people are getting to people marketing-wise, and they're so niche. And they're more geared for national. And so, like, haunts are kind of sort of being left out of the loop because they're not national. For example, DirecTV has no way to advertise on it unless you're a national advertiser. And then just now they're starting to make deals with cable operators to insert on satellites. So finally you'll be able to do that. But there's so many elements out there now. And haunters only have a limited budget, so you really have to focus what makes the most sense, what's going to give you the biggest bang for the buck, and then roll with that.
I guess the question that kind of comes up with that is it seems like it's the younger kids that know all this new technology. You know, I have no idea how Instagram works, but yet apparently, you know, everybody under the age of 30 does. But you don't have that many haunt owners that are in that age demographic. We're the old school guys that still think, you know, buying billboards and buying, you know, ad space in the newspaper is going to work. And I guess it's difficult to kind of make that transition or to kind of get people in the older haunt owners demographic to find the right marketing techniques to the haunt attendees demographic, which can a lot of times is 20 years difference.
Well, you know what happens a lot, and I just wanted to say that I know a lot of people think, like, I'm all about serious stuff and business only or, you know, whatever. That's not true. Actually, I collect toys. I love going to amusement parks. I'm a guy. I go to the movies. Like, I see almost every movie that comes out. I actually enjoy, more than most people probably do, collecting things, collecting toys. I'm a kid in a candy store. If you've ever been to my haunted house, you know there's like, you know, I've heard I'm crazy because I spend too much money on it. You know, I'm not making my haunted house one of the best, you know, in the world or whatever for ego. I'm doing it because I just enjoy it. Okay, I'm a little kid, so to speak. It's a creative outlet. So those are the things that are more fun to me and more passionate to me. I just don't speak on them much because I really feel that most haunters need more help on the business side, so I try to step up and do those things. What's really interesting is you if you really look back, when you were a kid and your dad didn't know how to do, you know, like some new fangled thing, what is this, you know, fangled thing, you know? And like, you know, those are things that we picked up on and we know how to use and how to make them happen. And every generation's got their thing, you know, where the older generation don't understand. And, like, social media is changing so fast. When you're a kid, like, you know, I have a son, he's 14 years old. He doesn't have any job. He doesn't have anything to do. So what does he do? He's on his phone 24 hours a day doing Snapchat and Instagram and everything else. He understands it really well because he's doing it every day. Whereas a guy like me or you, we're out there working, okay, doing what we know. We don't have time to sit around and do nothing but Instagram all day. So we don't understand it as well as younger people. And it's not because we can't. It's just because we don't have the time. And the problem is with technology today, it's changing so rapidly and so quickly on almost a daily basis. You know, if you have to be a young person who has nothing better to do but, you know, to play around with these things, you know? And so you kind of sort of get left behind a little bit. And it's almost got to a point where there's so many different things you can do that you really need to almost hire somebody to handle these things for you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I do want to remind everybody listening out there, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. We're going to take a real short break to pay some bills and get out these very important messages, so stay tuned.
It's time to build your undead horde with the best-rated zombie props 2 years in a row. You'll find them at creepycollection.com, along with the scary creepy clown props, the frozen meat locker props, the deadly doll props, the creepy killer props, and the deadly deal life-size bodies. creepycollection.com, the online source for all your pro-haunting and animatronic needs. You'll find Creepy Collection props in many venues, from yard haunts to major screen parks to movie production and even crime scene investigation. Featuring FearFlex technology, Creepy Collection is taking the static out of static. For your gore and more, that's Creepy Collection at www.creepycollection.com.
And we're back to the Round Table of Terror, talking with our very special guest, Larry Kirchner, who's got a resume a mile long, and I probably don't need to tell you what he's done because you've probably heard about him at someplace other than here. Storm, I think you said you had something you were going to ask Larry.
Yeah, Larry, we've touched on a lot of things, you know, for the haunts and owners, balancing business decisions, keeping in touch with your audience, marketing challenges. But is there something you feel is a single greatest threat to the industry out there?
Oh, yeah, you know, you have a lot of haunters out there who just, you know, take it from one day to the next or whatever. You know, I guess, like, I've kind of sort of put myself in this role where I'm always looking out for people who don't even want me to look out for them. But I really feel like, you know, these are things I think about a lot, okay? And you have to when you're running a website like Haunt World or a magazine. This is, you know, a job that you've taken on. You know, when I see things like all these zombie runs, for example, came around real fast, the way people are capitalizing on horror now, it's kind of gone from where it was just movies in October, right? Now the movies are year-round, to video games, and then now it's gone to TV. You know, we never seen horror on TV, and now it's Sleepy Hollow to Walking Dead to, like, what? I mean, there's so many of them, I can't even name them all, right?
There's a new movie about Lizzie Borden coming out, miniseries on Lizzie Borden coming out in the next few weeks. There's lots of new thing on Ripper.
Yeah, Bates Motel.
Frankenstein. Lots of stuff.
There's Bates Motel. I'm talking about the TV shows. Like, you've got a lot of horror-based stuff now on TV, okay? So, like, the horror element and everything is based around getting, you know, like, scared or whatever, right? And there's so much of it out there now. I mean, it used to just be limited to movies and haunted houses. Now it's exercising is tied in with horror, you know, like with the zombie runs. Or, you know, television has really become huge with horror now. Horror movies are all year round. And I really see you're going to see a lot more interactive live experiences come on board. Like, you know, Marvel just recently announced that they're going to have some kind of Marvel experience that they're going to take around the country, okay? And that's a live interactive experience that you can experience the Marvel characters. But with horror being as big as it is, I mean, there's so many things that could be done, and there's so many different kinds of venues that can take these on. I'll give you an example. At Comic-Con, you know, like Petco Park... Petco Park is an example of a baseball facility that did a horror event with Live Nation, I think it was, maybe, you know, with Walking Dead, and who knows, like, where all this stuff goes, but I think you're going to see more, you know, these TV shows being used to create live experiences, okay, like, you know, based on Walking Dead or based on, you know, different TV shows, and they could tour around, and it could just kind of sort of make haunted houses not seem as vital for getting scared or getting a horror fix. And I think haunted houses really need to start thinking about ways to make themselves more interactive than ever before. And that's one of the things we're going to do with the new Darkness.
So you think the market at this point is becoming oversaturated with horror, and therefore Halloween is kind of losing its horror appeal because you can get a horror fix any time of the year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was talking to that Halloween and Party Show guy, as you know, that was on the forums about how they had these policies about how haunters couldn't get in and stuff. And I took it upon myself to call them and talk to them about that. And one of the things I told them, I said, you know, Halloween is no longer dictated by trick-or-treating costumes. It's more dictated by the horror aspect, the scaring aspect, and then the retail is kind of sort of following behind it, okay? The scaring part of horror has become a worldwide phenomenon. I mean, every country wants haunted houses now, okay? Vendors are getting bigger because they're selling more haunted houses to foreigners all over the world, okay? And I do think that people are going to find new ways. I mean, you even look at haunted houses now and, like, these dark, what do they call, blackouts or whatever, and they have these, like, crazy, intense, weird experiences. Which
the pitch black mazes and things.
Well, no, I'm talking about the one where they, you know, sexually, you know.
Oh, the extreme, yeah. You in one at a time, you can't wear shoes, and you have to sign a waiver type things.
There's just so many people that are trying to capitalize off of this, and they're doing it year-round. Okay, and so I think, like, you're going to see haunted houses and Halloween be not as important, okay? And, you know, what's interesting is you're seeing more and more haunted houses trying to branch out and open for Valentine's Day or open up for some Christmas thing or a Friday the 13th in the summer or a Scream break or whatever it is. You know, I don't know. I think haunted houses have a lot to think about because Halloween has been stretched out 12 months of the year now.
Except in Walmart and Target.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah,
November 1st,
gone by. Basically. Yeah, Columbus Day, and then it's gone. But, no, I see what you're saying. There's a slice of the pie, and is it, you know, you get people coming in the spring for this thing, but is this costing you customers in October, losing that novelty around the Halloween season?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you another thing that's hurting the haunted house industry. If you want to know my opinion, is and I wrote about this in the new Haunt World magazine that's coming out this later this month. Is that haunted houses have gotten so expensive now that and you look at these zombie runs too. I mean, they were $70-$80, $100, whatever, to have these experiences, and it's gotten so expensive. It's not like people all of a sudden got more money to spend just because we all charged more, okay? You know, in fact, because of all the economy meltdown stuff, right, you know, people got their jobs are paying less and they're doing more work, right? So the haunted houses have gotten so expensive, what we've seen is less people are doing more than one attraction, okay? So, like, when an attraction costs $40 or $30 or whatever it is, how many times do you think people want to spend $30, $40 to go to a haunted house? Not many.
Especially if they're bringing dates or kids.
Exactly. So I think what you're seeing is people are still going to haunted houses, they're just not doing as many in a season as they did before. So there still might be the same amount of revenue going into haunted houses, but there's definitely the attendance, I think, is going down. Even though, like, revenues might be staying flat, it's because they keep raising the price. And every time you raise the price, I think it cuts more people out.
Would you consider 2013 to be a good year for the industry versus 2012, which was a horrible year? Well, you know, weather-wise, ball games, baseball playoffs, you know, the economy, the election, and everything, you know, all those aside, was 2013's haunt season better than 12 or 11?
Well, you know, I thought a 13, you know what's weird is, like, when 9/11 happened, I thought that year was going to be the worst ever. It actually one of the best ever. And considering 9/11 happened right when haunted houses were about to open, and I thought that year was going to be terrible. But, you know, what's really terrible is when they have these elections for president, because they spend $1 billion talking about how the economy is in the dumps, people can't get jobs, all these people are unemployment. They really depress people, you know, with the advertising, right? So, yeah, that wasn't good. And then this year I thought would be really good because it was 2013. It could start with a Friday the 13th. And, you know, it really wasn't that great. It was about as good as 2012, maybe a little better, maybe a little worse, you know, but it wasn't great. Most of the haunted houses I talked to that would tell you that, oh yeah, we did good, except for the fact that, you know, when it rained, you know, that brought our overall attendance down. And I truly believe that, you know, haunters can convince themselves of whether this, that, and the other was the main factor. I think the main factor is the price. It's just gotten too expensive.
Interesting. You recently have done a change to the World Forums, of which you are the owner. Any major changes coming to the Haunt World site, or any changes coming to the magazine this year?
Yeah, you know, there's with Haunt World, I don't think, you know, a lot of people realize this either, but, you know, when somebody gives me money, and I don't care if it's $20, $20,000, or, you know, whatever, it doesn't change me whatsoever. I feel like, you know, when I take somebody's money, no matter how much it is, I want to do 100%, okay? You know, that's the only way I know how to do anything. So we never really made money with Haunt World because they keep spending it all. And the problem is that, you know, I've always got ideas, okay, to make the site better. And what I found is, you know, you always think, oh, I've got it perfect now. And then, you know, some new technology or some new way to market a haunted house comes along. And then you don't have anything figured out. And then you got to almost start from scratch. With Haunt World, you know, I kind of got an aggressive plan for 2014. And we're redoing the profiles for the haunt owners so that they would actually be able to make a website within a website. So essentially, they wouldn't even need a website because they're actually going to be able to name their URL. Like, for example, they could be nightmarehauntedhouse.hauntworld.com, which is easy to remember. So it'd be like www.nightmarehauntedhouse.hauntworld.com or, you know, netherworld.hauntworld.com. So they'll be able to get a URL, but they'll actually be able to create a website within the website. So like each profile have 7 pages. You'll have a TOC page, so you can have a page for directions, a page for tickets, a page for everything, just like you would on a normal website. So I'm going to give people the ability to create websites without being a web programmer.
That's kind of a neat concept. I mean, you know, I noticed that I'm starting to get more traffic through social media than I am through my actual personal website for my company. So I'm wondering if, you know, and I've heard rumblings about this, that websites themselves are actually going to start fading in lieu of, you know, customizable things off a forum or off another website or various social media type things.
You know, the thing is that you know, and I've preached this, I've wrote some articles in the magazine and this, that, and the other. And the problem with, you know, like Facebook, for example, is that people get the perception that it's popular because they think it is popular, right? And whenever we look at MySpace, or we even back up to AOL, okay, and we see how these things had a limelight and then they just fade away to nothing, okay? Like AOL, who remembers AOL and dial-up and all that? Who remembers it, keyword this or whatever on AOL? You know, who remembers MySpace? But when MySpace was hot, people were paying people to get them friends on MySpace. People are doing the same thing on Facebook. The reality is people who are on social media don't really want to click out of it, okay? It's a communication tool between them and their friends. So they're not really looking at ads and things of this nature the way they would on a different kind of website, okay? And I really believe that, you know, you need to get people to your website where you're the focus. Like whenever you're on MySpace or, like, not MySpace, but Facebook or any of these other things, there's so many distractions, okay? When they're on your website, you've got their sole attention. And people need to really focus on driving traffic to their website, not their Facebook page, not their Twitter, or anything like that. I think social media works best when you have a really good haunted house and people leave your attraction and then they tweet about it or they take a picture there with forwarded to Instagram. And that's one of the reasons why, like at the Darkness this year, for the tour, we're going to create these photo opportunities where you can take pictures with monsters. And then when you tweet these or Instagram them or post them on your Facebook, it'll show our URL and our name. And so we're going to be creating quite a few of those.
Nice.
Very nice.
And I'll tell you, the people love taking the pictures in line and doing that. That always throws in there. Larry, is, you know, before you see a drop off in attendance, is there a warning sign that owners should really be looking for and go, hey, I need to stop and look at some stuff with my haunt?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you something. We didn't have the greatest year this year, and what's kind of interesting is the St. Louis Cardinals, I read, have won 25 postseason baseball games. That's 8 more postseason games than any other team in Major League Baseball. That's almost like 1 month. That's out of the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, they've won 25 postseason games. That doesn't even count how many they lost, okay? So that's one whole month, or, you know, one whole year gone out of three just from winning, okay? And so if they've lost just as many, for example, then we're talking 2 months, right? And so, you know, baseball season has played, you know, a heavy toll on me the last 3 years. But, you know, like when you get into the season and you're not starting off the way you want, you can't just sit around and hope that something's going to change, you know, like some magical, you know, thing's going to happen and all your fortunes are going to change. You know, this year we weren't doing great. I changed everything. The thing about Halloween, running a haunted house, is that you have a very short window. And if you're not willing to give 110% and turn over every stone and just, you know, be willing to try anything and change things midstream, then you're probably not going to make it in this business long.
Hmm. Well, Larry, unfortunately, we are starting to run a little bit long, so we are going to need to start winding this down a little bit. For people who would be interested in getting information maybe about Haunt World, the magazine, or The Darkness, or the various, you know, the magazine and the website, the haunt locator service that you have on the website, the forums, all things run by Larry Kirchner, how can they look at that information? What are the various websites and social media sites that you have available to the public?
Well, we have which I'm kind of like still flabbergasted because I don't believe that Facebook is like a big difference maker. It didn't sell any tickets for us, no matter how much you poured into it. But I'm amazed at how many Facebook likes Haunt World has. It's over 140,000. It's crazy. But, you know, we're on Facebook, and I post on it all the time. I post, you know, interesting things on the Facebook. The Fright Forum is really the only place that I go, and I try to answer questions. I try to get involved in conversations and offer my advice. That's the only place I do that. When people send me emails and ask me, can you help me get in the haunted house business? Can you answer this or whatever? I tell them to join the Fright Forum, and I'll try to answer it for them there. You know, we are having a big haunt tour. Did you guys go to it last year?
At Transworld?
Yeah.
I went in 11. I did not go last year. I mean, I was at Transworld last year, but I did not do the haunt tour. I did go to the Darkness and the Limp Brewery back in 11. And both are very impressive.
I was in 2008.
Holy cow, you get caught up there.
Well, we will have a presence down there. I believe Unknown Scare Actor will be at Transworld this year, so...
I will. I'll be there the whole time because we are vending as well. So Darkness is on my list of to-do.
Well, will you actually be wearing this red hood on your head?
if it makes you happy, Larry, yes, I will.
Usually it's a brown bag, but we won't go into that.
He looks like Space Ghost or something.
I can do that. Space Ghost works.
I used to love that show, Space Ghost. But, you know, we're doing the Haunt Tour again. I would love to come back on your show and talk about all the fun things that we're going to do. You know, I'll tell you, that's been like a curse and a blessing for me, that haunt show. It's really pushed me to try to do things to, you know, because I know that it's haunted house owners that are the customers. So I know that I can't just like say, do what some other haunts might do for Haunt Tour and just buy a couple new animations and just put them here and there. I mean, I really feel like that people won't go anymore if I don't, like, do something over the top, crazy, and amazing. So it's really pushed me creatively and my team because we work sometimes 80 hours a week to get it done on time. And we put a lot into it. And we really thank the haunted house industry for supporting it. And it's really been fun. The last couple years, I've really enjoyed it. So I'm actually looking forward to doing it again this year. And this year is going to be the craziest year we've ever had. So with all the effects we're doing, because every effect we're doing touches people or grabs them or bites them or chews on them or swallows them. This is going back to what I was saying before, that haunts maybe need to start looking at being more interactive. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my haunted house more interactive, because the animations, I want them to actually be involved with. I want the animations to touch people. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I'll give you an example. We're building a fly trap, a Venus fly trap. And I have a greenhouse now, and I have a Venus fly trap on the side, you know, that snaps, and you get to walk by and look at it, right? And we were thinking, wouldn't it be cool if the Venus fly trap was actually the way it normally would be, like pointing up in the sky, and a bee or fly lands on it and it swallows it, right? So we said, well, the Venus fly trap could be more interactive if it was on the ground with its mouth open, waiting for somebody to get in the middle of it, right? And then it swallows you. So that's what we're doing. We're building a Venus flytrap big enough for like three or four people to be inside of its mouth. So when you walk through it, the Venus flytrap will be open, and you'll kind of sort of go up like a small little bridge, and you'll go through the middle of it, and then it'll literally swallow you.
Do you feel that's going to be the next thing to start popping up in haunts?
Yeah, because, you know, I think, like, when you look at a lot of haunts, you know, and they're doing these extreme things where they're touching and grabbing and putting hoods over your head, and I don't think people overall really want that. There might be a handful, but not the mass majority. But I do think, like, if we're going to get more scares, we're going to have to, like, make our animations and effects be an extension of an actor, so that maybe a prop touches you, but, like, an actor doesn't, because I don't want my actors touching anybody. But I'm going to give them tools this year so they can touch the customers, right? For example, we're building these puppets. They're 8 foot by 8 foot tall, and they're actually going to have hands, and we're having Gorgolore build this for us. And they'll actually go out and stop the traffic so people can't get by, and the hands will grab people and then pull them in and then try to eat them. So the mouth will literally try to chew on them, and the hands will grab them. And then people will freak out because these puppets are grabbing them and pulling them into some dark place, but then releasing them. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, and I have Unit 70 building this one animation that we're calling Sawzilla. There's going to be this gigantic saw blade that's going to rip through the whole room. It'll be up in the ceiling. It'll go right over your head and then right down across your face. And hopefully the effect gives you the illusion that this thing is going to cut you in half. Okay? And then, we're trying to make it so interactive that, you know, like, everything is touching you, grabbing you, scaring you, and that's where I think maybe the haunt industry needs to start looking at going that way. So the haunt industry will kind of sort of be my guinea pigs, and we'll see how that works out.
Well, we have some haunts here in Vegas that recently announced they're going to start doing what's called the victim experience, and it's the Trilogy of Terror, the Gates of Hell haunted house run by the Franklin Brothers. Do you see this type of experience being more interactive as far as the victim is concerned? Do you see that something that the entire industry is suddenly going to start bringing into play, or is it just kind of a novelty?
Well, you know, Busch Gardens a couple years ago did a haunt where they said, you know, only one person at a time can go through, you know, but how many people can go through? You can't make money that way. You'll never do the volume. But I think it was done more as like a marketing tool, okay? Even though only a limited amount of people could experience it, it was still a marketing tool to add to the overall event. And I think that you will see more haunts like trying things that, you know, kind of sort of put the haunted house a little bit more on edge. Now, I wasn't a big fan of the whole naked haunted house concept, because to me that just doesn't, you know, that has nothing to do with Halloween being.
Yeah,
naked.
That was pretty dumb.
It was a great gimmick.
Nothing wrong with a naked woman, but when you got a 300-pound guy walking through, no.
Great gimmick. It hit national news, and you never had to do it in the end. Oh, there's a zoning issue. Oh, we don't need to do it, but it's already talked about by a lot.
Exactly.
Of people.
Yeah, and I think that more than you think that backfired, because, like, I predicted that the local officials would be up in arms because people would complain about it. That's exactly what happened. They went over there. They said, you're not doing no naked haunted house. It's, you know, insane. You know, and so, like, one minute you're saying, hey, we're going to do a naked haunted house. Next minute you're saying, no, we're not. That's like sending a signal that, oh, yeah, we got shut down, even though you didn't. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of mixed signals there.
Yeah, it's definitely a one-shot deal.
But I think you're going to see more haunts try to do publicity stunts and extreme things. And we've seen it before, too. We've seen haunted houses say, hey, remember the big debate that turned into, like, probably one of the biggest arguments ever on Haunt World Forums was about that company that was selling the year-round, or no, was selling the money-back haunt. The money-back haunt, and people were arguing and fighting over that, you know, whatever. You know, I'll tell you something, and I know you guys got to go, but one of the things, like, that I just want to throw out there is an argument or a debate or, you know, it's to me, it's more information than it is like a negative. When you can sit there and argue about the merits, pro or con, of the money back haunt, just as an example, it was interesting to see everybody's views. And even though half the people don't agree with each other, it still makes a person who's a fence sitter or somebody who wants to explore something different to get all these different ideas. So I don't look at it as an argument. I look at it as a positive. You know, you can take something good from that. And I think this industry needs more of that kind of stuff. You know, debate whether or not something is good or bad. You know, I love debating the money or the naked haunted house. Some people thought it was a great idea, and some people thought it was just pure trash, you know? And they went from the hearing everybody's different points of view. You know, hopefully you can kind of sort of like, maybe initially you might have thought it was a great idea, and then after reading a bunch of stuff, you realize, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, wow, look how that turned out. And maybe you're like, oh, you know what? That didn't work, but what if we did this? You know, those kinds of ideas can be spawned from debates and discussions.
Well, healthy debate and healthy dialogue is always a good thing, because it does, if nothing else, it will make you think. And unfortunately, our time has drawn pretty much to a close. I do want to thank you very, very much to Larry Kirchner, yes, out in the St. Louis area, for coming on the show and talking with us. We will definitely have you back in the very near future, possibly even before Transworld, to maybe talk a little bit further about what you've got going on with the Darkness. The website for the Darkness and Haunt World and all those, again, would be?
Oh, the Darkness Tour is at thedarkness.com. And then, of course, Haunt World is hauntworld.com. And then we also have a supply store where we sell a lot of our videos. And we have a lot of CGI DVDs now, too, that we're making, which is a new thing for us, actually making them and selling them. We've been making CGI. We were the first company to ever do CGI in this industry. And that's actually for another discussion. All the people who've worked for us that started their own companies, you know, and started selling things. That's like, I don't know how to take that, you know. It's like they left you because they didn't like you, or they left you because they learned enough and they wanted to go out there and try to make their own company. But there's a lot of companies that are selling things today in the haunt industry that one time or another worked for me and doing well. But, you know, we were the first company to ever do CGI effects, and now we're actually making them and selling them to people. So they can, like, check those out at hauntedhousesupplies.com.
Nice. Hauntedhousesupplies.com, thedarkness.com, and, of course, hauntworld.com. Once again, Larry Kirchner, thank you for taking the time to speak with us, along with our four co-hosts, including Storm.
I'm off to work on my Zorak costume so I can fight Jerry as Space Ghost later this year.
Nice. The unknown scare actor.
You know, I'm speechless again, so I'll just pass it on.
The haunt rocker, Jerry Vane.
I got no answer to that one.
My name is Drew Badger. I'm always a Brack fan myself. You're listening to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show.
Greetings, haunters. Are you ready to face your fears? Fears. Brought to you by Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Check out Nez's work at www.darkspectre.com. Couture for the creatures of the night.
Greetings, haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. Well, here we are. It's 2014. And for pretty damn close to 2 years now, I've been making you face your fears. Well, I think I'm going to take it in a slightly different direction for a little while, if you'll humor me. all you listeners out there, I want to hear from you. Email me some of your favorite fears. What kind of scares work for you? What kind of fears do you feed off of when you're working, or just in general daily life, like I do sometimes? And whenever you see a prime target, you never pass an opportunity to get a quick scare in. But I want to hear from our listeners. So, if you have any phobias or fears that you want to talk about, or techniques, whatever the case may be, email me at usa@bigscaryshow.com. And I'll pick some of the ones I like, and I'll get in touch with you, and we'll do a Face Your Fears together. So, until then, Haunters, I look forward to seeing some fears.
Always remember one thing, Haunters. Everyone is afraid of something. Shadow Symphony. Beneath the Dark, a Big Scary Show exclusive.
How do you keep up with all your customers who are on the go? The answer? HauntApps.com. HauntApps is designed to provide your haunted attraction with a direct line of communication to your customers via the iOS or iPhone and Android applications.
Some features you will find with Haunt Apps include customized branding with your attraction's logos, an interface that works for your needs, iPad enhancement for the iOS, audio-video playback, direct communication, and the option for online ticketing. Let Haunt Apps do all the hard work so you can concentrate on scaring the customers. That's hauntapps.com for your mobile application needs.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people and others. Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. Von Charon Productions. Von Charon, VonCharon.com. Screamline Studios at ScreamlineStudios.com. We'd also like to thank the Four Ghosts. Storm, catch his ramblings at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, videos and more, UnknownScareActor.com. The Haunt Rocker Jerry Vane, be sure to pick up his latest CD, Virus 308, on JerryVane.com. And Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, RabbitBadger.biz. Be sure to tell us what you think. Send feedback to us at feedback@BigScaryShow.com. And keep sending in those news items, news@BigScaryShow.com. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BigScaryShow. Make sure to follow us on our new Twitter account, @TheBigScaryShow. We just may occasionally tweet out some information that you won't find anywhere else. Be sure to search for The Big Scary Show on iTunes. And while you're there, please give us a review. We would appreciate it a lot. Tune in next time when we bring you the latest news and information from the world of haunting and horror. And thank you once again for listening. Without you, we are nothing. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and others. This is The Big Scary Show.
Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.